Two. Okay, we're starting today with the Gemara Hechi Dami about, I don't know, around 10 lines down from the top on Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. So Abaye has just taught us that the correct pshat in the Braisa is Abchinu Vazminu. Yesterday we did a very involved, complicated Shaka Vataria. Now, the truth is that later on the Amud, we're going to have to return to that complicated Shaka Vataria. We're not done with it. Abaye's way of reading the Braisa versus Rebbe's way of reading the Braisa. But today's Gemara, and this Gemara in the middle of the Amud, from the Hechidami until Rav Acha Bar Yavika, this Gemara is sort of a self-contained piece, assuming like Abaye's Pshat and the Braisa. It's just targeting Abaye's Pshat and the Braisa, but it's a question that takes a break from the whole larger Shaka Vataria about Hakadosh Tchilas Hazam. Let's put all that aside. And the Gemara says that in the case that Abaye gave, which again, let's review the case, at least in broad strokes. We don't really have to go through the details of the Reisha versus the Seifa, that in one case, the Eidim Zayimim said the Ayin came first and then the Shein, and in the other case it was the Shein came first and then the Ayin, and that doesn't matter. But we had an Abraisa, two cases. In both of the cases, Eidim Zayimim came in and said a story which they never saw, about the Adain beating up his Eved and knocking out both an eye and a tooth in some order or another. And it turns out that they were lying. And the how do we know they were lying? Because other Adim came and said, Imanu Hayisem. But it turns out, nevertheless, that although they were lying, there is an element of truth to the story they were saying. They never saw it. They just lucked out. But it happens to have been a partially true story. The Adain did beat up the Eved, did knock out his eye, and did knock out his tooth, but in the opposite order. If they said tooth and eye, it was the eye and tooth. If they said the eye and tooth, it was the tooth and the eye. Those are the cases of the Braisa. And the Braisa said in each of these cases that they become Zayimim. And what do they do now that they're Zayimim? They pay the difference between the true story and the false story. If, in truth, the eye was knocked out first, so the Adin really only has to pay Demei Hashem, which is just a little bit of money. And they had said that the eye came last, so then he has to pay the Demei Ayin, so they were coming to pay to be Mechayev the Adin an extra big expense, so they have to pay the Adin the Demei Ayin. If, on the other hand, he really did do the Shein and then the Ayin, and he's Chayev the Demei Ayin, but they said it was the Ayin and then the Shein, so he's only Chayev the Demei Hashem. So they were coming to take away from the Eved that big payout he was supposed to get at the Demei Ayin, so then they have to pay the Demei Ayin to the Eved. So in other words, in each case, they pay the difference between the true story and the false story. They don't pay for the whole entire thing that they came into Beis Din to be, meaning when they walked into Beis Din, and remember, according to Abaye, they were the first cat, they walked into Beis Din, and they said about somebody that we didn't know anything. We didn't know about any fight, any assault, any battery. And they said that this guy knocked out his Eved's eye and tooth. And they were coming to be mechayev him, the whole Eved, because he has to set him free. And some extra money also, whether a lot of money or a little bit of money, they were coming. But at any rate, they were certainly coming to be mechayev to set him free. That they don't have to pay for. That was clear in the price. They don't have to pay for that. Why? Because that's actually true. They didn't know it, they had no basis to know it, but it was actually true that this other does have to be Meshachar as Eved. So when they came and untruthfully, well, it's a funny thing that happened here, they untruthfully told a true story. It's untruthful because they didn't know anything. But they said that the Adon beat up his Eved and now the Eved has to go free, and that's actually true. So the Braisa taught us that if Eidim Zayimim untruthfully told a true story, they don't have to pay for that. So they never have to pay, in both of the cases of the Braisa, they don't have to pay the Adon for his whole entire Eved, that they came to make, they came and made up a story to make this Adon set his Eved free, and the whole Eved is worth $1 million. We've been talking about the Demei Ayin being 100,000, so the Demei Eved says $1 million. That was Pashut in the Braisa, both in the Reisha and in the Sefer, they don't have to pay $1 million to the Adon. They were making him set his Eved free, that's worth $1 million. Yeah, but that's actually true. The Adon does have to set his Eved free. So therefore, they don't have to pay that. They just have to pay the 100,000 to one side or the other, depending on what they did. So in other words, they pay the difference between the true story and the false story, but they don't have to pay the whole entire thing. They don't have to pay for the part that was true, even though they said it untruthfully. Now, what we're going to learn today, the Gemara says that that's actually not always the case. Sometimes, if you tell a true story untruthfully, you do have to pay for it. The Gemara is going to say, so this might strike us as being a little bit funny, that sometimes there's a din of asisim lekasher zamam, where they have to pay, the Edim Zemim have to pay somebody for, because they said such a terrible thing about him, even though it was really true, but nevertheless they're going to have to pay for it. Why? So the Gemara is going to have two separate situations in which that will be the case. We'll have to go through them one by one. So first the Gemara says that it depends on whether the chiyuv came earlier or later. The Gemara says, "Vehechi dami." What's the case? Idikama achri achuri hani basrahi. If the second pair of Edim is making it later, meaning, yes, it's true that he really beat up his Eved and the Eved has to go free, but that only happened later. And so at the time that they came in and they told this story about him, there was really no reason to tell such a story about him. It wasn't true. They told a false story. And imagine that somebody walks into Basin and says that Reuven killed Shimon. And that, right, on Sunday. And then on Monday, other agents came in coming and saying, Manu Yisim are complaining. So it turns out that they were lying. They'll be Chayav Misa. Meanwhile, a couple of days later, Reuven walks into Basin together with Shimon. And before our very eyes, caution, explicit content, before our very eyes, he takes out a gun and he shoots Shimon dead in front of Basin. So now, this Reuven is a big villain, right? We have no rachmanis on this Reuven. Nevertheless, we have to separate that. We have to separate our feelings about Reuven from what happened on Sunday. On Sunday, he was the victim of a conspiracy, of a zamama. These Edim came in. These Edim, maybe they're Nevi'im. How did they come up with such a story that it happened to come true a few days later? Maybe we should go to them for a bracha. But Lamai said they came. We have to look at that as a conspiracy against an innocent person. They were zaymim against an innocent person. Reuven never did anything wrong. A few days later, he did. But we're not going to take into consideration legabe Sunday's dintayra, Sunday Monday's dintayra. What happened a few days later? On Sunday, they came in against an innocent person. True, there was evil lurking in his heart, but that doesn't take away that he's an innocent person. They came in and said about an innocent person something that he didn't do. But he's like Asher Zama Lasalach. If that's his mama, they're in Zemim. They're Chayav Misa for that. So even though it's funny, right, that we end up killing these people for having tried to kill Reuven, but Reuven's not a nice guy. Reuven's a lowlife. He's a no good guy. And nevertheless, they tried to kill him. Shalai Kedin. They're Chayav Misa for that. So that's the first step in the Gemara. But even though the Nidoin might not be someone that we're very sympathetic towards, right? This Adoin, he really is a crazy guy, right? With a wild temper, and goes and beats up his Aved. But Lamaisa, he only did it later, and they said he did it earlier. So at the time that they said he did it, he hadn't done it yet. So they were really setting up with an innocent person that, yeah, there was evil lurking in his heart, but that shouldn't make any difference. And at that point in time, he was an innocent person. So if they said that he set his Eved free, and he really, meaning he beat up his Eved, the Eved should go free, and really that had not happened yet, then they should be chayav the whole Demei Eved. It's going to come out a crazy thing, that this master is beating up his Eved, and the Eved is going to go free, but he's going to get reimbursed for it. He's going to get paid by the Eved Zayim. He's going to get it because later, he beat up his Eved and set the Eved free. But earlier, Edim Zayim had made up a story about him that he beat up his Eved and the Eved should go free. For that earlier story, since at the time it was untrue, so there's a Vasizim like Hashem Zama Lachim. So they have to pay this master for the nasty thing that they said about him, even though it ended up coming true, but it wasn't true at the time. So they have to pay for him for that. So that's the first case that the Gemara says that the Edim Zayim could pay the whole Demeya Eved, even though it's true that the master beat up the Eved. Nevertheless, the Edim Zayim will have to pay
the whole Demeya Eved? If what? If it was Ma'achri Achuhi, if the second cat made the story later. If they were making the story earlier and the second cat came and made the story later, so that at the time that they were made, there was no basis for the story, it wasn't yet true, even though it ended up coming true, that was their Ruach HaKodesh, but that doesn't make their Aegis any less untruthful. Their Aegis was entirely untruthful at the time, so they're chay for that. So, just 1 second, let's read that inside, the whole thing. If the second pair is making the story later, then they should still have to pay the whole Demei Eved to the master, because when they're Mechayev, this man, this master, this man was not yet a Bar Chayuvah. So what's the case where the Braisa says that they just pay the Demei Ha'ayim? They just pay the difference between their story and the true story, but they don't have to pay for their whole entire story. Only the Kamakta Mikadumi Hani Basturai, when the last Eidim are making it earlier, they're coming and saying, you were Imanu Yisrael about complaining, so that story never happened, but a different story happened, and it actually happened in the past, not in the future. It happened before you were made, so then we could really say that when they walked into Beis Din and they made up a story about this master, although the story was untruthful, but it was true. Untruthful meaning they never saw it. But it was true that this master did have to set his Eved free. So they came and gave him Eidus that would be Mechayev the master to set his Eidus free, to set his Eved free, when the master really was in fact Chayev to set his Eved free. Then they're not Chayev for it. That's the case of the Braisa. When the Braisa said that they don't have to pay the Demeya Eved because that part was true, they only have to pay the difference, the Demeya Ayin, that they have to pay, but the Demeya Eved they don't have to pay because that part was true. The Gemara is explaining that means dafka that it was already true. And the fact that it'll eventually come true, that would not patter them from paying. So it's only if it was already true. That's the first case that the Gemara says of where you would have to pay Demeya Eved. What if the story only came true later, but at the time it was not yet true, then they would have to pay the whole Demeya Eved.
That's why everybody's making me visualize the case and like really feel like it's happening. The case could happen where, is it true that the case could happen where the testimony is a week later, and the question is, it's Sunday, and one group says it happened last Sunday, and the next group says no, it really happened last Monday. But in either, when the time of both ages came, really, it happened already.
So this is the issue that Rashi has. Rashi or Vicky Baker, you didn't see it this morning? Okay, so that's where we're headed now. I was really sort of deliberately being a little bit vague about what we mean by the past versus the future, that we're about to jump into Rashi. We're going to do something a little bit unusual here. I guess we sort of did it already. I explained the Gemara, I was somewhat keeping it vague, but to some extent I explained it Rabbi Kivager's way. And we're going to start now by speaking out Rabbi Kivager, and then we're going to see Rashi. Rabbi Kivager has the Kasha on Rashi. Obviously, Rashi comes first, but we're going to start with Rabbi Kivager because that's very much the Pasha Pshan in the Gemara. When the Gemara differentiates between Ma'achri Achuri and Makta Mikadumi, that they're only parted from the Demei Ha'eved if the second cat puts the story earlier, meaning into the past. But if the second cat puts the story later, into the future, so then they have to pay the Demei Ha'eved. Even though the master really is Chayav the Demei Ha'eved, yeah, but he wasn't yet. So then they're going to have to pay the Demei Ha'eved. What's the line exactly? In order for them to be Pachter, we need that it should already have happened by when? So if out of the Pasha, what we would say Misvara, Kivager points out, this is what we would say Misvara, that it doesn't matter if the story of the second cat happened earlier or later than the story of the first cat. All that matters is that the story of the second cat, meaning the true story, right, we consider their story the true story. So let me start again. It doesn't matter if the true story happened on an earlier date than they named or on a later date than they named. All that matters is that the true story happened before they came to Beis Din. That's called Makta Mikadumi, that it happened earlier. That means that when they came to Beis Din, remember, what's their crime?
Their crime is coming to Beis Din and saying a story that isn't true. And the Gemara says that if it was true, even if they didn't see it, right, they're untruthful, but the story was true, then they'd be putter from the Demei Eved. So what makes the story true if when they walk into Beis Din, the master had already beaten up his Eved? Then what they're telling is a true story, and they don't have to pay the Demei Eved. It doesn't matter, Kiveyer says, that it shouldn't matter whether, let's say, they walk in Sunday of Parshas Behar B'chukaisai, and they say that it happened last week, Parshas Emor, it happened on Monday. And then the Edim Zayimim come in, and they say, no, it happened last week on Tuesday. Or another case, they say, it happened last week, the second cut, they come in and they say, it happened last week on Sunday. They're making it later, they say Tuesday, not Monday, or they're making it earlier, Sunday, not Monday. We can make it, all that shouldn't make a difference. That's all called Makdami Kedumi. They're making it earlier because it's all earlier than this Sunday. They came in this Sunday, Bahar B'chukaisai, and they told the story. So we want to know, was the other, if they told the story about somebody that had really done it, then they're part of the Demei Eved. If he hasn't done it, then the Shibachai of the Demei Eved. So whether he did it Sunday or Monday or Tuesday of Parshas Emor, if they're coming and saying in Parshas Bahar B'chukaisai on Sunday that he knocked out his, he beat up his Eved, so then Avada, they should be parted from the Demei Ha'eved. The only time that they'd be chayiv, meaning what the Gemara calls ma'achri achuri, that if the second cat is making it later, then they're chayiv Demei Ha'eved, is if the second cat says that it happened after Sunday Bahar B'chukaisai. They walked in on Sunday Bahar B'chukaisai and they said one day last week, Monday, let's say last week, he beat up his Eved. And then, if they do that on Sunday, and then let's say on Tuesday of this week of Bahar B'chukaisai, another pair of Eidim come in, and they say, Imar Eidim are complaining, so you never saw anything, but this other actually did beat up this Eved just yesterday, meaning Monday of this week of Bahar B'chukaisai, that's today. They say Monday of Bahar B'chukaisai, the Eidim had come in on Sunday. So here we have a case where the Eidim looked like Nevi'im, right? They came in on Sunday, Bahar B'chukaisai, and they testified about a story that never happened. But it'll happen tomorrow. But they said it happened last week. So at the time that they said it, they were starting off with an innocent person. Again, you might not think of him as being so innocent because you know him today. You know him as the guy that beats up his Eved. But at the time that they walked into the basin, he had never yet beaten up his Eved. So they were really starting off with an innocent person. So they should be punished for that. So Rabbi Kiveger says that ma'achri achuri, when the Gemara says that the second cat is ma'achri achuri, then they should pay the Demei Eved, it should mean that they're ma'acher, they make it later than the date that the Edim testified, that the Edim came into Basin and did their crime of false testimony. But if you look at Rashi, let's look at Rashi now. If the second cat makes it later, the first cat said that it happened on Sunday, and then the second cat came and they said that it happened on Monday. But it sounds like they're all talking about last week, right? That the first cat said it happened Sunday. It's not Sunday now. It's sometime later. But they say it happened last, at some Sunday in the past. And the second cat comes and says, no, it didn't happen a Sunday in the past, it happened Monday in the past. Let's say Monday of last week. And that's called Ma'achri Achri, that the Gemara is saying that it should be Chai that may have it. In fact, Rabbi Kiveger, I don't agree with that. That doesn't sound right. Rabbi Kiveger says, if you look in the Gilgul HaShas, Kashali, it's on the margin of the page, Kashali. Habazeh, in such a case, where the Eidim say it happened Monday of last week, Leibai Shlumi, they shouldn't have to pay. Because when they walked into Beis Din this week, Hayav Emes Chayev, he was already Chayev. V'zeu b'chalal ma'ad m'shani el da'akdami akdumi. This case should really be included and called akdami in what's called akdami akdumi, that they're making it earlier because they're saying it happened Monday of last week. Good, Monday rather than Sunday, but last week. And the Eidim only came to Beis Din this week. So that should be called makdami akdumi. And then Rav Yeager writes, u'kemoisha amar Rashi, Dibur Masa de Makhtami. Rabbi Kiveger says, it's not my own svara. You know where I'm getting this definition of Makhtami versus Ma'achri? You know where I'm getting it from? I'm getting it from Rashi. Not this Rashi, right? Rashi, Dibur Masa de Ma'achri, has it one way. But if you take a look at
two Rashi's later, the Gemara says, the Makdami Akdumi Hani Vasrai, Shehem, says Moidim, maybe you should say Meidim, the Koidim Shabbos Katri Shein Lahayid, what's called Makdami Akdumi? As long as the second cat says that it happened Koidim Shabbos Katri Shein Lahayid, that's when Nasa HaMaisa. As long as the second cat says that it happened before the first cat came to Beis Din, that's called that it was really true, and they're pater from the Demei HaEved. So when's the only time that they're chayv in the Demei HaEved? When's the only time that we call Ma'achri Yechuri? If the second cat says that it happened after the first cat came to Beis Din. But that doesn't show with the first Rashi. The first Rashi says the Ma'achri Yechuri says that the second cat gives the story a later date than the first cat. The first cat said it happened last Sunday, and the second cat said it happened last Monday. That's called Ma'achri Yechuri and Leishim Chayv Demei HaEved. Correct, Rebbe Beger, that's not like you said later on. You said later on, Ma'achri Yechuri is after that they said it happened after this Sunday, after Sunday of Ha'Baruch HaKaisai, not after Sunday of Parshas Amar. And also Misvar, that's what it should be totally on. It should be totally on whether the guy was already Chayev when the Eidim came to Beis Din to be made against him. So Rabbi Kibager, he says that he thinks Rashi should have explained it this way, and he ends with a Tzarech Iyon. Now, you know, the Rashi is taka very share. One is tempted, I guess, to try to come up with a lumdus, try to come up with some kind of a lumdus explanation why this din that, you know, the Eidim didn't walk part of the guy was a Bar Chiyuva, but their Chayiv, if he was not yet a Bar Chiyuva, come up with some kind of alumnus why it shouldn't be totally on whether he's a Bar Chiyuva when the Eidim come to Beis Din. It should be totally on whether he's a Bar Chiyuva at the time that they allege that he did it. One would be tempted to try to come up with such a alumnus to explain this Rashi. But one would have to be very cautious, because if you come up with a geshmak alumnus for that, so then you'll be troubled by the following Rashi. The mice of the following Rashi. It's not just a kash on this Rashi misvara, but it's a Sirin Rashi Minei Ubei. There's two Rashis on the Sugya, and the first Rashi goes with one definition, seemingly, and the second Rashi goes with a different definition. So, it's therefore, it's a very difficult problem to deal with. It's a very sure Rashi. There is a whole different kind of a solution, and that is that in the Yalkut Shinuei Nischois, which is a collection of different texts, variations in the text based on different early sources. So they have four Kisve Yad of Rashi, and that does not mean Rashi's Ksav Yad Kutcher, that, you know, in Rashi's handwriting. Kisve Yad of Rashi means four copies of Rashi that were written by hand before they started to be printed. Now, it's pretty remarkable that that's all there is. You know, I mean, every Yid in Europe had not every Yid was a Talmud Chacham, but every Torah scholar, every Talmud Chacham, every Loim Teira in Europe had a Rashi. But the Goyim did a very thorough job. They got burned all over the place. They got burned in France, they got burned in Spain, they got burned, I mean, the manuscripts that, you know, these manuscripts that used to exist in the thousands. So, okay, obviously they fell into disuse once it was printed, so they stopped. You know, what? Yeah, so I'm sure some of them, you know, just got put into Seamus. But the fact that they all disappeared is, I think, probably a tribute to the efficiency of the Seinei Yisrael. But anyway, but there are a few manuscripts that still exist. And so these are the oldest editions that we have of Rashi. And in one of them, they write over there that in the Yalkut Shinuei Nischois, it says that in one of the Rashis, the old Rashis that they have, this first one, the one that Rabbi Yeager is shtelling on, is written totally differently. And it's written actually in a way that stems with the later Rashi. I don't have the whole text in front of me, but it's not a matter of changing a word or two. It's just written in the Idim Achri Achri Hani Basrei. It says that the second cat comes and says that it happened after these Eidim Zayimim came to Beis Din. That's what Rashi writes in the first Rashi. Okay, if that's true, then the version that we have and that Rabbi Kibager had is just
some mistake, you know, some copyist wrote it over wrong, and then we live happily ever after.
What's the Yalkut
Pshita? This is in the Frankel Sefer HaMafteach, you know, we I think often refer to the Frankel Rambams, and he has Sefer HaMafteach on the back of all the Rambams, but he also has, they started a project, I don't know if it's still current, I don't know if they're continuing it, but they put out a similar, they started with Bava Kama, that's the first Masechta they did, and I think they only have a small handful, maybe just the three Bavis is what they have. But on Masechta Bava Kama, there's a Sefer HaMafteach with the Yalkut Sheni and Nitzchayis on the back, from the same people that put out this material on the Rambam. They have on the Gemara and Rashi and Tosfos. And over there they say that there is one old manuscript of Rashi that doesn't have this offensive piece that Rabbi Kivayger is taking issue with. They don't have it over there. So that does that, you know, that's one good way to solve the problem. Lemaisa, I would remain skeptical, first of all, because I don't know, they say they have four manuscripts. Apparently the other three have it our way. And also, Rabbi Kivayger's Kash on Rashi, Rabbi Kivayger asked in the 17 or 1800s, but it's really a much, much older kasha. The Tosfos HaRid also asked this kasha. The Tosfos HaRid lived in the 1100s, and he had this, he had the Rashi the same way that we have it. So, you know, unless it would have to be a mistake that came in very, 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 very early for the Rid to already have had the mistaken version. So I think more likely is that this is the correct version. And that version, what they call Ksav Yad Pei, where they have this other version, that's because somebody who was bothered by Rabbi Kivayger's Kasha thought that, this must be a mistake, and he changed it. I'm just guessing. I can't say that's what happened, but that's a theory. So anyway, I don't know. Lamaisa of the Rashi, if you want to change the Gerasa, there is a basis for it. There's one Ksav Yad, but barring that, I think that's unconvincing. If you don't say that, it's a very shver Rashi. I don't know what to do with this Rashi. But the Maaser of Hivegar and the Rid as well, the Rid says that this is not the right shot. What Rashi says is not the right shot. The right shot is, like it's mentioned in the later Rashi, that it's all totally on being ma'acher to the date that they came into Basin. It's not about being ma'acher to the date that they say it happened. Being ma'acher to the date that they came into Basin. Okay. Back into the Gemara now. Now, the Gemara is saying that which we said in the Brice, that these Eidim, they never have to pay the Demeya ever. They just pay the difference between, right, the true story and the false story, but they never have to pay the whole thing, because the part that's true, they shouldn't have to pay for it, so they don't have to pay the Demeya Eved. So the Gemara says that's not always true. In the case that the Eidim, that the second cow was Ma'afi Achuri, they actually would have to pay the whole Demeya Eved. Now that, I was sort of dramatizing before how it seems kind of ironic, because this master, he really is a rotten guy, and he really did do a terrible thing, and nevertheless he didn't get reimbursed for it. So even though it seems kind of like a funny halacha in Metzius, right? He's not so much the type that we think of as a victim. But in Lumnus, it's very straightforward. What the Gemara says it makes perfect sense. I mean, no one would say otherwise. Even if we kind of hold our nose as we give him this money, right? Why should we have to give him this money? He really, you know, he deserves to lose his Eved. Why is he getting reimbursed for it? But he should get reimbursed because they told a lie about him at a time that he was entirely untrue. So for that, there's a vasis like Hashadamam. So, like it or not, the halacha made a lot of sense. What the Gemara says in the first step, that if the second cat is Ma'achri Achuri, then the Eidim Zayman really have to pay the master the whole Demei Eved. That makes a lot of sense. That's very simple. But this, the Gemara now is going to say another case where the Eidim Zayimim have to pay the Adayin, the whole Demeya Eved, even though the story was true. And over here it's giving me a case where even where it was true and it was already in the past true. And nevertheless, not for a reason that's very obvious in logic, but for a Lumdish reason that the Gemara is going to tell us what we have to try to figure out, the Gemara is going to say that it's still going to be true that they're going to have to pay the Demeya Eved. What's that? The Gemara says further, V'id loy omad b'din. If there was not yet a hamad b'din, then a kaki d'mekuli eved l'rab b'y shlumilei, then they would still have to pay the master for the entire d'mei eved, da akaki gavro loy mechayev, because the person is not yet chayev. El, or rather, the case must be the omad b'din, that there was already a hamad b'din. So let's
Let's explain this a little bit.
What, first of all, just a translation of terms. What does Hamad Abedin mean? Hamad Abedin means that
he was. It means the lawsuit, right?
The suit was brought. He was brought to Beis Din. A person goes and he knocks out his Eved's eye, so the Torah says that the Eved should go free. But the Eved's not free yet. The Eved needs to go to Beis Din. He needs to go to Beis Din, bring witnesses, convince the Beis Din that this really happened, and the Beis Din will pass him that, yeah, this person knocked out his Eved's eye and he should go free. So the Gemara says that, let's say, if they come in and they say that this Adayin, he beat up his Eved, they say the eye and the tooth, and then really with the tooth on the eye, if they said that he did this last Sunday, and the Inzim come and say, Imanu Yizim, I'm complaining, so you're making up a story, really it happened a different day last week, last Monday, or maybe the previous Friday, again, I don't care whether it was earlier or later, but it happened. It really happened in the past. So based on what we learned before, we're thinking, okay, so they shouldn't have to pay for the Dmei Eved. Zakti Gemara, they still have to pay for the Dmei Eved. Because if all that happened is the assault, but not yet the lawsuit, then Akati Gavra Loi Mechayev, then this Gavra, this person, was not yet Chayev to be Meshacher his Eved. He beat up his Eved. He knocked out the eye and the tooth. But he wasn't yet brought to basin for it. Until you brought to Beis Din, you're not chayiv in the shechur of the Eved. You're only chayiv in the shechur of the Eved once Beis Din hears from two witnesses that you knocked out his eye or his tooth, and then they'll pass him that they have to meshacher him. So once you're brought to Beis Din, and Beis Din hears from Eidim, then you're really chayiv. And then if Eidim Zayim come and make up a story about you, a story that's untruthful but true, because really they say it happened on a different day, they weren't there, and they're just making it up, but you really did it, so then they'll be potter because you're already chayev, and Eidim Zayim will be potter because they're starting up with a guy who's already chayev. But we would only say that if there was already Hamad Abedin. But if there was already, even if there was already an assault and battery, but there was not yet a Hamad Abedin, and then Eidim come in and make up a story about him, the Eidim will be chayev to pay the Dmei Eved. Because this master is not yet chayev in the Shechar, because that chiyuv is only chal when they come to Beis Din. And this is a tremendous chiddush that the Gemara is saying. That a person is not chayev. The Torah says that if you knock out your Eved's eye, you have to set him free. He's not yet chayev in that consequence until Beis Din says so. Just doing the ma'aseh doesn't make him chayev. Now, this Gemara is sort of telling us half a story. This Gemara is really referring to a Gemara in Makkos. Makkos Daf Hei is the main place where the Gemara goes through this. And over there, the Gemara even over there is not 100% explicit. Rashi makes it more explicit. But when you learn the Gemara in Makkos Daf Hei, so what emerges is that this is a special din in Knossos. Meaning we wouldn't say this for every case. If somebody breaks his neighbor's window, and then right on Sunday, and then Eidim come to Beis Din and say, we saw Reuven break Shimon's window on Monday, and then another pair of Eidim come and say, that's not true because you were with us and somewhere else on Monday, but we saw Reuven break Shimon's window and he did it on Sunday. In that case, Avada these Eidim are not going to be chayiv because they told the story that was untruthful because they never saw it. But it was true, right? They were coming to me, Mechayev Rumi, $100, and it really was Chayev $100, because when you break a window, the Maisa itself is Mechayev you in the Tashlumin. He broke the window, he's Chayev in the Tashlumin. They come and they say about Rumi that he's Chayev in the Tashlumin. Yeah, well, that doesn't bother us, because he really, it's not truthful, that's true, but he really was Chayev $100. He really was Chayev for a broken window. But the Gemara says that's only true for Mamon, but it's not true for Knas. What's the difference between Mammon and Knas? We've mentioned a few times this year, whenever the Torah, whenever you pay for exactly what you did, I borrow $100, I have to pay back $100. I bought something for $100, so I have to pay you $100. I was mazik something that's worth $100, so I have to pay you $100. That's called Mammon. But whenever the amount is not correlated to what I did, my shur kills your Eved. The Torah says that for that there's a Knas of 30 silver coins. How much was the Eved worth? He might have been worth 2 silver coins. He might have been worth 100 silver coins. Doesn't make a difference. The Torah says that if a shur gores an Eved, then the owner of the shur has to pay the owner of the Eved 30 silver coins. The Torah made up a number. That's an example of a knas. The Torah says that if somebody's ma'anis or mafata and nara besula asher le'irasa, he has to pay for, to the father a knas of chamishim shekel. Over there, as far as monetary value, there is no monetary value. It says, in the case of the Eved, there is monetary value, but we said it might have been more than 30, it might have been less than 30. In the case where he's ma'anes or mafata and nara besula, there is no monetary value. It's just a nasty thing to do, and the Torah says that for that there's a knas chamishim shekel. He has to pay 50 shekel to the father. Those are both examples of knas. This is also when the Torah says that if a master beats up his eved, so he has to set the eved free. What did he do? He knocked out an eye. So for that, it would be just to say that he should pay the value of the eye. But setting the eved free is not the value of the eye. It's much more than the value of the eye. So he's being punished for something much more than what he did. So that's not mumming, that's knas. So there are three examples of dinim in the Torah that are clearly knas. Then there's, we mentioned already, edim zaymimim, some achlekes tanayim. Some tanayim say that's mumim, because it's something like kasher zomam, right? If you zaymim for $50, you pay $50. If you zaymim for $75, you pay $75. So that's mumim, it's correlated to your crime. But others say no, it's knas, because sure, you pay the exactly amount that you were zaymim, but that amount never actually changed hands. You never actually cost anybody $50. You just conspired to cost him $50. And for that you're paying, so that's considered a knas. Chatzi nezek also is a machlekes in the Gemara. Chatzi nezek, on the one hand, it's correlated to what you did. It's not a random amount that the Torah set up, right? The Torah says that if your shur gores another shur, you pay half the value of the damage. Not the whole value. If it would be the whole value, that would be my money. $100 value for a $100 payment. So that would be mum. And over here, $100 value gets a $50 payment. So there's a machlokes in the Gemara whether that's called mum or knas. So here we have a few examples of things that are knas, or at least that might be knas. Halacha might be passed on all of those are knas, I think. So these are examples of knas. So the Gemara in Makkah says that there's a fundamental difference between mum and knas. When you do mamay, meaning if you borrow money, so you're chayav to pay. You don't need a beis din to make you chayav to pay, you're already chayav to pay. If you break somebody's money, you're mazik, you're chayav to pay. You don't need a beis din to make you chayav to pay, you're already chayav to pay. So in those cases, the gavra is a bar chayuva. If Eidim Zaynim come and tell us, they make up a story about him that will make him chayav $100, they're not chayav for that. Eidim Zaynim are not chayav for that because he really is chayav $100. But if what he did was something that's l'chayev him a knas, somebody is sure gored and killed a eved, or he was ma'anes and nar b'sula, or he beat up his eved, right, with knocking out an eye or a tooth, or his sure gored another shur, it's chayev a chatzi nezek. In all of these cases, assuming that last case is a knas, in all of these cases, the Gemara says that when the act happened, you're not yet a bar chiyuva. You did the ma'isa. You ma'anis the nar basula. You beat up your eved. You're not chayav b'knas. You're not called the gavra bar chiyuva. And therefore, Eidim Zaymim will come and be made against you. They'll be chayav. And this is already mind-boggling. I did the crime. And they even come and they say I did the crime. And they will have, and then when they turn out to be Zaymim, they'll have to pay me. They'll have to pay me for having the audacity to say such a nasty thing about me, which was really true, and I had already done it. But nevertheless, they were starting off with something that's not a bar chiyuva, because you only become a bar chiyuva on a knas once Edom say Edom based in. And that means true Edom, not false Edom. So these false Edom that came in and they told Basin that I'm chayav money, which I wasn't really chayav, because I didn't. It wasn't yet testified about in based in. Even though eventually we'll get testified about in Basin, right? Because Avchinu Azvinu, the second Kach, is going to come and tell Basin that I did beat up my Eved. But at the time that these Eidim came to Basin, there were no Eidim that had ever yet told Basin that I beat up my Eved. So they were starting up and being with me and being Mechayev me to set my Eved free when I was not yet really Chayev to set my Eved free. Because in Knas, you're not called a Bar Chiyuva until there's a hamad of a din, until based in hears about it from witnesses. Why is that? I did the ma'aseh aveira already, and nevertheless, but before, by the way, I was scrambling to think of examples of Knossos, so I just forgot that we're learning Perek Merubah here, right? The whole first half of the Perek. Kefil is a Knas, Dal the Hay is a Knas. So, right, so if I say that somebody stole something, so I came to him Chayavim Kefil, and he really did steal it, but there was no Amad Abedin yet, I'm going to be Chayav Kashu Zomam to pay him the Kefil that I was trying to be Chayavim, or the Dal the Hay that I was trying to be Chayavim, because he was not yet really a Bar Chayavim. So that's what the Gemara says in Makkos. And our Gemara is saying the same thing, specifically about the case of the Knas of the Eved going free to Shein Ba'ayin. So why is this? Why is such a strange halacha? Why is he not called a Bar Chiyuv if he already did the Maisa Aveira? So Rashi, here and there, Rashi in both, meaning in this Gemara, as well as Rashi on the Gemara in Makkos Daf Hey, Rashi says, because since by Knas, there's a din that Moedah B'Knas Pater, so just because he did the Aveira, Lav Dafki was going to have to pay for it. Because if he would come to Beis Din before any Eidim, then he would get out of it. Because Moedah B'Knas Pater. So he really, let's say the case of Kefil Dal Dehei, right? He really stole a shor and shechted it. And then two people who never saw that, they weren't even in town, they came in and they took that a different day, and they said that he stole the shor and shechted it. Now, they're starting up with somebody that might, right, so they're going to make him pay $5,000, right? The shor is worth $1,000, they're making him pay $5,000. Now, he might not really have ever had to pay those $5,000, because he, who really did steal the shor and shechted it, if he would walk into Beis Din and say, guess what, everybody, I stole the shor and shechted it, he would be putter. Moedah B'Knas putter. So, therefore, Zok Rashi, he's not a guy, he's not a Bar Chiyuva. And so, these people that come and they, who know nothing about it, they make up a story about him, they're making up a story against somebody that was not a Bar Chiyuva, and therefore they're going to be chayav to pay him. But it's like Hashazam Lachlacha. So, Rashi's pshat is that it's because of Moedah B'Knas Pater. Tosfos has a few kashas on Rashi. Tosfos Makkos has one, Tosfos by us has another. I don't know if I want to go into the... Let's skip for now. We'll skip Tosfos' kasha. Tosfos says he's not happy with Rashi's pshat. You know, the Gemara over there, we're sort of being makatsa. The Gemara, we're just talking about the Knas aspect, but the Gemara over there says about some other cases also. And over there, it's very debatable that whether Rashi's pshat could work, even if it works for our Gemara. But Tosfos over there says it's, it will be harder to make it work for that Gemara. Let's leave that aside. Tosfos is a different pshat. Tosfos says, you know why we don't call him a guy from Rakhiyuva? Because if a guy, let's say, stole shor and shechted it, what are the chances already that he's actually going to have to pay? After all, maybe nobody saw. And even if we'll say that somebody saw, and they'll come into Beis Din, but Beis Din is going to start asking them all sorts of tricky questions. Drisha v'chakira. And we've seen lots of witnesses get, you know, flustered with the drisha v'chakira, that's the cross-examination. Not every Eidim that come into Beis Din end up getting their testimony accepted. So just because somebody did a crime doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be chaya for it. And so therefore he's not called a guy from Rechayuva. There's still, Lashon of Tosfos is, that it's, I think Tosfos says, levadai, that they're not going to, no, I'm sorry, maybe I'm making up that word. Tezis is the Shema lo yavayu Eidim. Maybe Eidim aren't going to come. I think he might have that expression. But Tezis says that it's about likelihood. It sounds like a very balabatish asvar. It's not a lomdish thing that's going on, according to Tezis. Tezis says that the reason why we don't call him a Gar Rechayuv is because even though he did a crime, but just because a person does a crime doesn't mean he's going to have to pay for it. And so for you to make up, to make him chayav, you who never saw it, to make up a lie about him, if you make up a lie about somebody who's chayav, fine. But to make up a lie about somebody that there's a small chance that he'll become chayav, but there's a good chance that he'll never become chayav, so that's an aveira of Eidim Zayumim, and therefore you have to pay for that. Then Tosfos says, wait, so why is it only true by cases of knas? Why not by cases of mamain? Why don't we say over there also, if somebody broke a window and Edom come and Edom who weren't really there, they make believe they were there and they say that they saw him break a window, why don't they also have to pay? Because after all, he's Gavala Brachiyu, because maybe no Edom were going to come. Zok Taisis, by mamain, it's much easier to get a conviction. Why? Because mamain, in a regular case of Dine Mamanis, there's no Jewish Bachakira. Without Jewish Bachakira, that changes everything. Then Edom are not afraid to come. And when they come, their testimony is usually accepted. So if it's a matter of somebody who borrowed money, was mazik, bought something, you know, regular dine mamanis, so then, maybe that's what Tezis uses the expression, karev levadai. Karev levadai, that he will get convicted. So we call him gavra rachiyuv already from today. But in cases of dine knasos, where there's a jewish v'chakira, and that makes it much harder for Edom to come, harder for the Edom to be Edus to be Kayim, much harder to get a conviction. So there we call it a Gavra Lav Bar Chiyuva, and therefore the Edom that start off with him will be Chayav. And Tosfos, and that's what's going on in our Gemara also. Tosfos, it's interesting, the Tosfos over here, the Rasa Dakati Gavra Lav Mechayav, just take a quick look at Tosfos inside. We're not even going to do all the parts, I just want to show you. He starts with, Eina Tam Mishum Diyev Bayav Asim Abesin Umaydu Mister. Right now, he doesn't quote Rashi, but that's Rashi. He starts off saying the Pshat is not like Rashi. The reason is not because he could have come to Basin and become Potter. Why not? He says that's not the right Pshat. It doesn't stem well with the Gemara later on. We're not going to go into that. Even without that, even if you don't have Rashi's time, if there's no Amad Bedin, he's not called the Gavra Rachiyuva, like I explained in Perek HaMiniyach. Now, there is a very long text on the topic in Perek HaMiniyach, but the text over there doesn't really, as far as why you're not called the Gavra Rachiyuva, the text in Perek HaMiniyach, which is earlier in Baba Kama, doesn't explain. The text that we're looking for is in Makis Daf Hei. Over there, the text is explained, and what he says is that it's all about probabilities. If the guy is very likely to become chayav, then we call him a gavra bar chayuva. If the guy is not so likely to become chayav, then we call him a gavra lav bar chayuva, and then you're chayav for being zeinim against him. If he's likely to be chayav, he's a gavra bar chayuva, then you're not chayav for being zeinim against him. Because you're being zeinim against somebody who's a bar chayuva, there's nothing wrong with that. But, well, at least, nothing counts. You don't get a kasha zavah for that. But if he was unlikely to become chayav, then yours mama against him, you're going, he's called the Gavra Lav Bar Chiyuva, then yours mama against him makes you chayav and kasher zaman. It would seem to be a very deichik tikka pshat. More than that, I would say it seems, I think, to most people to be a very unsatisfying pshat. It seems almost arbitrary, like, you know, this is more likely than that, so that makes a big change in the din, in the official status, usually an official status of a gavra bar chiyuva, a gavra lav bar chiyuva, to affect the din of the edim that are zeimim against him, that should be totally on some kind of an objective standard. This is a real chiyuv, that's not a real chiyuv. According to Tosfos, it's very subjective, it's very arbitrary. If there's a good chance, how do you define exactly good chance? I don't know. If there's a good chance that he's going to become chayev, then he's called the gavra bar chiyuva. If there's a very slim chance, how do you define exactly slim chance? I don't know. But if there's a very slim chance that he's going to become chayev, then we call him a gavra lav bar chiyuva. It seems like a very unsatisfying pshat. Furthermore, I would add one R on Tosfos's pshat. The whole difference between mamon and knas is because by giving mamonis, you don't need Jewish v'chakira. That halacha, they don't need Jewish v'chakira, dini mamonis, is the Tekan v'drabanon. So this whole din, this gets us back into a whole different discussion that we had earlier in the parak about dinim d'rabbanon affecting deraisis. We're not going to go back into that now, but I just want to make the ha'ara that according to Tosfos's pshat, this over here we're dealing with carrying out a kasha zamam deraisa, and it's all totally on this takana d'rabbanon in kamba. But al kavanim Tosfos's pshat would seem in a lot of different ways to be an unsatisfying pshat. Along comes Rabbi Kivega. Mikibeger, he says, I don't have any kashas on Tosfos's pshat per se. Just, we all, looking at Tosfos's pshat, you know, if there was no better pshat, fine. You know, the Gemara says something, yeah, you have to explain it somehow. That's the only way to explain it. Fine, you could give an unsatisfying pshat if you don't have a satisfying pshat. But we would all agree, looking at taste as pshat, that it's not a gishmak pshat. I don't understand why Tesis didn't just learn the Pashat Pshat. A Pshat that Rabbi Kineger calls a Pshat that's, I think he says, Nachon Ubarur. It's clear that he says, anybody learning the Gemara, if there was no Rashi and no Tesis, the Gemara would have been very easy. Because that which the Gemara says, that by Mominus, you're called a Gavarach Yuva from the time that you did the Maisa, from the time that you broke the window. But by Knossos, you're not called a Gavarach Yuva. So the simple reading of the words is that when it comes to Mominus, breaking the window is what makes you Chayiv. But when a person, let's say, he's Ma'anis and Arab Asula, the Maisa doesn't make you Chayiv. It's only the Psak Basin that makes you Chayiv, not Ma'ad Medin makes you Chayiv. But by Mominus, you know what the Basin is for? That's just so that we should know. If nobody ever comes to Basin, then we'll never know. You'd be able to get away with something. But you know, right? What's your din? You know, halacha l'maisa, this is a very important halacha. You're playing baseball, you break a window. There's nobody around. It's just batting practice, right? Whatever, you know, it happens much more frequently with driving, right? You're driving, you crash into somebody else's car, a parked car. You sideswipe a parked car. Right? You get out, you sideswipe a parked car, and there's nobody around. And there's $1,000 worth of damages. You're chayiv $1,000. If you don't pay him $1,000, that's probably stealing. You're stealing $1,000 that you owe him. You don't need basin to make your chayiv. You just need basin because without a basin, he has no way of getting, you know, there's no one that's going to force you to give you the money, to give him the money. But since you yourself know, so if you're an Erlich Yid, if you want to keep the mitzvah of the Torah, you have to give him $1,000. You have to call him up and say, I'm sorry, I sideswiped your car. It's, you know, go for an estimate and send me the bill. That's the halacha when you're mazik somebody else's property. We'll call it, for lack of a better word, Lutz de Shemayim. It's not really Lutz de Shemayim, and it's really Tzachiv Me'ikir Adin, but Rabbi Kivei uses that term, meaning that even though it's only between you and Shemayim, nobody's telling you to pay, but you have to pay. You have to pay whether they're selling you or not, because Basin doesn't make the Chiv, Basin just reveals the Chiv, but the Chiv is there because you broke the window. Zokter B'Kiveger, that's not true. By Knossos, there is no chi of losses de Shemayim. Let's take, for example, a case where my shar goes and gores an eved and kills him. So the Torah says that the owner of the shar has to pay the owner of the eved 30 silver coins. Zokter B'Kiveger, there is no chi of losses de Shemayim. So that even if, let's say I was there, and I saw my shar do it, I saw my shar go and gore that guy's eved, dead. And I'll say the other guy also saw it. He, right? The Baal Asher and the Baal Eved are both there, and they're both friendly people, and they're both God-fearing people. And they see what happens, and so the Baal Asher will say, oh gosh, what a terrible, terribly unfortunate thing. And the Baal Eved might say, yeah, you know, you're supposed to pay me for that. And he said, no, I don't think so. Look, you know, I feel really bad. I'm not trying to get away with anything. You know, I'll even send you a condolence card, but Shloshim Shkolim, there's no din that I'm supposed to give Shloshim Shkolim, and he's right. There's no din that he's supposed to give Shloshim Shkolim. There were no witnesses. It's just the two of them saw it. There's no witnesses. There is no din that he's supposed to give Shloshim Shkolim. There's no chiv losses de Shemayim on Knas. Rabbi Kiveger quotes that from Tosfos and Ksubas Daf Lamed Gimel. And there's no chiv losses de Shemayim, which means that I could see it. We're both standing here. We both saw it. I know that my shor did it. You know that I know that my shor did it. And I'm not trying to get away with anything. And nevertheless, I don't have to pay you the money. I can give you a gift if I want to, but for you to say, hey, you know, you really owe me Shloshim Shkolim, I could say back, no, I really don't. I would pay you any money that I owed you, but I don't owe you Shloshim Shkolim. So, because there's no Chiv L'Tzitzei Shemayim. So, Zokter B'Kiveger, what does that mean? What that means, that there's no Chiv L'Tzitzei Shemayim, means that the Maisa doesn't make Mechayev. It's only the Hamad of Adin that makes Mechayev. Oh, that's what the Gemara calls the Gavralav Bar Chiyuvah. But by Mominus, that's not true. By Mominus, it's the mice itself that makes me chayiv. The Hamad Medin is just to make people know, to enforce it, to force me to pay. But somebody that wants to be honest and pay the money he owes, he's going to pay it before the Hamad Medin. So that means that the mice himself made him chayiv. If the mice himself makes him chayv, then from the time of the mice, he's called the gavra bracha yuba. So the gavra eidim zaymim, then they're starting up with the gavra bracha yuba. Mashiachim by knosis, they're starting up with the gavra lav bracha yuba. So he says that's a tam nachon ubaru to explain the pshat in our gemara, and he doesn't understand why the rishonim didn't learn this way. Okay, so maybe we'll come back to this next time. But for now, I'll upon him, as far as the pshat in our gemara, we have Rashi's pshat, Rashi about moed b'knas pata, Tais about likelihoods. And Rabbi Kivayger, what he calls his tam nachon ubarer, that it's because the knas, the chiv, doesn't come on the day of the ma'aseh itself.
Like we discussed a similar story earlier in the year in the hospital.
I don't know what the extent we discussed it.